This episode is brought to you by SalesCred, the definitive book on sales credibility by our co-host, Seeley Smith. Sales credibility is the quality all salespeople must have in abundance before they can ever hope to earn trust and become a trusted advisor. And SalesCred reveals how salespeople build and lose credibility with the things you say and do every day. Pick up a copy now at Amazon.com or other fine online business booksellers. Welcome to the Manage Smarter podcast with hosts Seeley Smith and Audrey Strong. We're glad you're here for discussions on new ways to manage smarter, hire, develop, and retain talent, improve results, and propel team performance to new heights. This is the Manage Smarter podcast.
Our guest today, Lee, says that her company's top three values are cultivating wholeness, compassion, and freedom in company cultures, which she says that that's a little bit scary for some leaders. We're going to drill down on this because I can see maybe where that would be hard.
Well, and and for some people, then that might sound a little squishy, but you know, really what we're going to talk about, I hope, is the how to deal with the elephant in the room.
That's right. And I love the name of her company too. Welcome to Manage Smarter, everyone. I'm Audrey Strong, Vice President of Communications here at Sales Fuel.
And I'm Seeley Smith, the President and CEO of Sales Fuel.
And Jessica Katz, we are privileged to have her today. She's a trainer, mentor, and coach through her company. Here we go. Here's the name. Love it. Liberated Elephant. She is an expert at culture design within organizations that allow individuals to bring authenticity to work, bolstering up the engagement. That's always a good thing. And revenue. That's even a better thing. Mm-hmm. Jessica's methodology is informed by agile values, principles, and practices, creating a safe space for her clients to be wholly themselves without judgment. Now, the company name Liberated Elephant has the tagline, Jessica, I love this, of make the elephant in the room work for you. So welcome to the show. And my first question is, what are the most common elephants you're seeing right now?
Well, thank you for that warm and delightful welcome. I appreciate that. Thanks for having me on the show.
Sure.
The elephants I'm seeing right now, I say one of the big ones I'm seeing is, you know, coronavirus has happened and folks are addressing their changes in revenue and the variety of challenges that this brings about. And lots of layoffs have happened. And the biggest elephant happening right now is the expectation that the same amount of productivity will occur with all those layoffs. Mm-hmm. That's a really big challenge. In the Agile community, we try and limit work in progress. We want to narrow our focus to the top items and not try to spread ourselves too thin, to avoid too much context shifting. And in large organizations, leadership has laid off a bunch of people and then said, work more. And that's not really healthy for employees. And you actually reduce productivity over time if you push people too hard for too long. So that would be the biggest elephant I've seen. Some other elephants I'm seeing is a lot of fear. There's a lot of fear right now. Fear people won't have a job. Fear people won't have income. Fear they're moving into a scarcity mindset or a fixed mindset as a result of all the reduction that's happening around them. You particularly see it, you know, I'm in Nashville, I'm outside of Nashville, and we have a lot of people in the entertainment industry here. Mm-hmm. The entertainment industry is really struggling with what do I do now? And you know, their skill sets are transferable to other jobs that are open now. And it's still scary. Well, you know, I wanted to be a musician or I wanted to be a set designer. Or I wanted to be whatever it is. And now they have to face, well, what else could I be? And that could be really terrifying. So those are some of the big ones. You asked me for three, right?
as many as you want.
Jessica, let me just jump in here for a second. Like you mentioned the Agile community, and for those people that, you know, heard the term but may not be fully familiar with it, what is it, you know, what is an Agile coach and what is your definition of Agile?
Sure. So Agile is a mindset that is based in four values and 12 principles. I'm not going to list all 12 principles, okay, but I give you the four values.
It's only a 20-minute show.
So the four values are individuals and interactions over processes and tools, working software or solutions, if you're providing a service instead of a software, working software over comprehensive documentation, responding to change over following a plan, and customer collaboration over contract negotiation. And really what that is to say is that if you're trying to make a decision, you pick the things that I said first over the things that I said second. So that's the idea of the mindset. And it's realized through a tremendous number of practices out there. Scrum would be one that people have heard a lot about. If you're in the enterprise, large enterprise organizations tend to hear about SAFe, which stands for Scaled Agile Framework. Kanban or Kanban, depending on mm-hmm. which accent you use. XP, Lean, all of those are ways in which we live the values and mindsets. So that's the gist of Agile, and it's been in, really bloomed out of the technology industry and has been spreading into other business areas now. So human resources, finance, sales and marketing. Sales and marketing is really glomming onto it because their workflow works really well in a lean or Kanban model. So those have really been where it's starting to spread into the rest of the organization. Because what I find as an Agile coach, is that if you put Agile in the information technology organization, the rest of the organization isn't structured in such a way that it can support the way they're going to work. Agile as a result is spreading. As an Agile coach, I come in with Agile expertise and then also coaching skill sets. So the Agile expertise is, hey, here's some stuff you could know about. I could educate you on Agile or the different practices. And then the coaching perspective is, how can I help you realize the journey you want to be on rather than me directing where organizations want to go? I instead work with them to set their own vision and then work in an Agile way towards that vision.
How do you deal with where you have one department, let's say IT or whatever, that's functioning under the Agile philosophy, if you will, but the rest of the company is not? How do you get them in alignment, or what issues do you face in trying to get them in alignment?
So that's a really good question. The biggest issue we face in alignment is if it comes from a grassroots perspective and leadership isn't bought in, getting alignment will be very difficult. And you can see this in organizations that have been agile and they have a changing of the guard at the leadership level, and the leadership level isn't bought into agile, they'll start to backslide into more traditional project management habits. So that's one challenge that can occur. Another challenge is if leadership is bought in and the grassroots isn't bought in, then they basically do faux agile. They sort of fake it, continue doing what they used to be doing, right? In the biggest issue that I see when organizations have both, when they have leadership buy-in and grassroots buy-in, the challenge comes in the middle management space. Middle managers really get stuck with three roles in an organization. They are either advocates for their employees, right? They're protecting the team culture and helping the teams be successful, or they're enforcing the leadership or company culture to make sure that that's replicated throughout the organization. And they're an employee themselves. So they're constantly in this state of conflict of interest in their three roles. We call them in the Agile community, we call them the frozen middle. So they have to make a decision. Do I take action to protect my teams and not look like a company player to my leaders, which will risk promotion and raises? Or do I protect the leadership culture and the company culture and look like a bad leader and get bad engagement scores from my employees? There's a way to balance all three, but it takes being incredibly vulnerable and courageous inside an organization.
Having been a middle manager, just listening to that, I'm having like PTSD because it's such a colossally underappreciated position to be in, and it's so hard. That I like just listen to you. I'm like, oh my God.
It's not even easy at the top, Audrey, too. It's like, it's because it's like talking about balancing. It's hard enough to balance two things. You know, people struggle with work-life balance or whatever. Now you're trying to balance three things and it's like, it's like spinning plates.
Yes.
Yeah, no one situation.
And saying that it's challenging for the middle manager isn't saying that it's not challenging for all the other roles. It's just when you're doing an Agile implementation, that's the place that gets stuck. They're really not sure how to be in the new environment and still protect both their interests and the company interests.
They have to manage their direct reports, and they have to manage up.
Yes, and they have to manage themselves.
Yeah, so there's your three right there. Yeah.
These concepts, I started the top of the show with the wholeness, compassion, and freedom culture that you talk about. That to me feels scary because I feel like some people, depending on their work styles, are people that if you give them an inch, they'll take a mile, or they'll just bad behavior on the playground. And that people that need more structure, it seems counterintuitive. What happens when you implement wholeness, compassion, and freedom? Does it work well?
It can. It doesn't always, right? It can. So the first thing is there has to be a buy-in to the idea at all levels. Otherwise, you can only have it within a certain structure. So let's say a team has implemented these ideas of wholeness, compassion, and freedom, right? So that team then has to work within the guardrails of the rest of the organization, and they can only take hold of those things. They're only really safe to take hold of those three things inside their bounded autonomy. If we talk about larger organizations, the idea around compassion and wholeness and freedom, let's start with wholeness. This is the ability to show up as my whole self. When we show up as our whole self, other people are also showing up as their whole self. And that means sometimes there's conflict. So there's a lot of learning how to have conflict. I find that if you create an agreement about how to behave when we're in conflict, before you have conflict, that goes much smoother. And I want to define conflict for a minute. Conflict isn't an argument or a disagreement necessarily. It's any time an emotional response of tension or friction shows up for any individual or group in the organization, which is frequently.
Yeah.
And that's also allowed, right? I have a moment of tension. I'm having some emotional reaction to this. And that's also part of wholeness. I'm allowed to bring my emotions here. They're part of me. We're not going to deny that they exist. And by voicing them, the thing that happens after that, once you voice them, is you get to decide how are we going to solve for that need that's being unmet. And that's the compassion part. So I've heard now you have this emotional reaction. I understand how this thing is impacting you. What can we do to help you feel safe and supported and recognized in this space, right? And then freedom is the freedom of choice, right? If we have deep alignment and understanding of our purpose and goals, we're talking about freedom to choose within that. Obviously, if you say, okay, you're free to make whatever decision you want about the way you work and how you work and where you work and what you work on, there's some risk there. However, if somebody's working for your organization and they're bought into your purpose and they know your purpose and they know what you're trying to achieve and why you're trying to achieve it, they're more likely to choose to support your goals. Humans really like purpose. Mm-hmm. We get, complacent and bored, really, if we don't have it.
Do you find that these days with the political discourse and social media and the way people talk there, and when people are in conflict, you find that people struggle with respectful pushback?
Yes. And I think that's a product, let me give an example. I have two children and they're 15 years apart. So they're entirely different generations. And the oldest one is struggling with how to communicate his needs and wants into the world. My youngest, who's 9, we've been teaching him these skill sets. And I think these younger generations are getting the skill sets that the rest of us older folks don't have or have had to learn sort of after the fact of our childhood. So I think some of these, techniques for communicating, for really hearing people, for addressing it with compassion, for checking our own biases, they're coming. Generationally, they're coming. But in the meantime, the rest of us have to figure out how to do it. And learning communication, really good communication, and that means not just how I say things, but also receiving things, how I hear things. I think that's our next big hurdle, how do we communicate? And now that we're all distributed, we have to get even better and more intentional about it.
Mm-hmm. So we're in coronavirus, that we've really steered the podcast to kind of give our listeners information in real time. One of the questions that you wanted to talk about was transforming from the reality of today to tomorrow's vision. But I almost feel like that question is somewhat moot because we don't know when this is all ending and we're emerging back out of this cocoon bubble thing we're all in. So right. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Well, I mean, I think we're in our new normal right now. You know, the first 3 months we were like, okay, well, this is a thing we just have to deal with right now. But we're now at 6 months in. This is here to stay for a while and likely to stay into when we have a vaccine, right? Because it'll take a while to get herd immunity and all of that jazz. So we're probably looking at another year of this. This is our normal right now. And enabling people to take care of themselves and their families and their work from wherever they are, I think we just have to get used to it. And really address that. You know, leaders then have to spend more time connecting with their employees and making sure they're connected to the vision. Their job very clearly becomes not let me tell you what to do, but let me tell you what we're working on and why as an organization. And their job becomes elevating their individual employees' perspective to see the bigger picture. And meanwhile, front-end workers, individual contributors are busy trying to do all the right things towards that vision. But if they don't have the vision, we're sunk, right? So I think that is incredibly important right now. The other thing is getting really good at video and making it as close to in-person as you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've done other shows about that. Lee calls it trying to make your Zoom meetings 3D instead of 2D.
Yeah, I'm waiting for augmented reality. I'm waiting for somebody to take this opportunity and do augmented reality and have us all like in the
That'd
same room standing, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure, I'm certain, I don't have the skill set or the desire to chase that idea. So somebody out there does.
That would be cool if we had the goggles on and the motion gloves and everything. Yeah,
that's right. That's and then we can actually see everybody.
And give a virtual high five. And
that's right.
Yeah, exactly. Well, if you want to engage with Jessica, I love the way you got your social media set up. First of all, everyone, it is liberatedelephant.com is the website. It's an excellent website. Go there and visit. She's got a bunch of services listed out. Elephant Taming is the Twitter name. I love it. And then for your LinkedIn, it's Jess Katz. J-E-S Katz. It's going to be very catchy.
And it's Katz, K-A-T-Z.
That's right. One S and a different, it's not C-A-T-S. That's right.
That's right. Well, we appreciate these are all good thoughts and everybody, you know, again, we're so appreciative that we were all able to connect and meet new friends like you in the middle of this pandemic. So we appreciate you being on the show.
Yeah. Thank you again for having me. This has been great.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and recommend on iTunes, Overcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also get more great information at salesfuel.com.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.